Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem, the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
When it comes to day-to-day operations, the main focus of the Montana Family Foundation generally lands in one of two buckets. We're either legislating or litigating. Legislating happens during a narrow window every 2 years when the Montana legislature convenes for its biennial legislative session. Litigating, on the other hand, goes on year-round, and this week was one of those weeks that kept our legal team hopping. It all began on Wednesday when the U.S. Supreme Court handed down its ruling in the case of United States v. Scrimeti, a case in which the Biden administration challenged a Tennessee law that banned healthcare providers from administering puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or performing irreversible surgeries on minors suffering from gender dysphoria. If that sounds familiar, it's because Montana and 26 other states have passed similar laws to protect confused minors from unscrupulous healthcare providers. In Montana's case, our liberal-dominated Supreme Court found that the law violated Montana's ever-broadening right to privacy. This is the same court that found that minors of any age have complete procreative autonomy. Thankfully, the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and the U.S. Supreme Court still retain a modicum of reason. And in Scrimeti, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in our favor. The Montana Family Foundation filed a friend of the court brief in that case, which found, among other things, that Tennessee's law was plainly rationally related to the state's findings that so-called gender-affirming care can lead to children becoming irreversibly sterile, having increased risk of disease and illness, or suffering from potentially fatal psychological consequences. In the end, they concluded that the law is rationally related to the state's objective of protecting minors' health and welfare, all of which were arguments that we made before the Montana legislature and the Montana Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in Scrimeti can be seen as the strongest possible rebuke to the Montana Supreme Court, which regularly places woke leftist ideology above the health and well-being of Montana's children. And speaking of the health of children, you'll recall that we filed suit last week against the state of Montana for the unconstitutional procedures that led to the passage of CI 128, the controversial amendment that legalized abortion in our state. This week, Montana Attorney General Austin Knudsen filed a motion before the Supreme Court that agreed with our assertion that our petition for original jurisdiction involves questions of constitutional interpretation of statewide importance. He went on to say that it's the state of Montana's position that the court would benefit from substantive briefing on the matter and should order the same. This is good news. The state is essentially agreeing with our position that the Supreme Court should take up the case rather than simply denying the motion and ordering us to refile in district court.
All right, let's hold
it
right there.
As we said before, CI 128 was...
Yeah, thanks, Caden. All right, let's hold it right there. We'll have that full report later in the hour. My mic was on. Anyway, funny story. Back after this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a chance for showers and storms, especially west of Billings. High temperatures from 83 in Bozeman to about 86 in the Billings area. For tonight, chance for scattered showers and storms, lows at 47 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And we'll see more shower and storm chances Saturday, mid-60s in Bozeman, near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The Navy made a big announcement recently, stating it surpassed its fiscal year 2025 recruiting goal several months early. Secretary of the Navy John Phelan released a video on social media detailing that 40,600 new sailors have signed up for naval service.
This is a critical time in history. The world is more complex and more contested than it has been in decades. And our ability to respond starts with our greatest asset, our people.
Secretary Phelan says that challenge is only growing.
We're in a new era of warfare where the battlefield extends from seabed to space. To succeed, we must innovate, adapt, and lead boldly.
Phelan ending his statement with this.
To our newest sailors, welcome to the fleet. Thank you. Your courage makes it all possible.
The Army also recently announced it has surpassed its recruiting goal as well, adding over 60,000 new soldiers to its ranks. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, don't worry, Tim and Savage. Tim and Savage is like, what's going on? Is Aaron not there? Did he show up late? There's some technical difficulties. Yeah, no, Caden was quick on the buttons there. It was funny. I started yapping like I normally do right at 6:06 to kick off the show, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I don't hear myself in my headset. That means that you probably can't hear me out there. And then I go in with Caden. I was like, hey, is my mic on? He's like, yeah, I've got it on. I don't know what's going on. So yesterday at the for the 9 o'clock hour of the show, Caden had a baseball game to go umpire. So he took off, and our friend Michael Foth was covering down on the studio. And so anyway, yeah, the mic was on, but the volume was cranked down low. And normally Caden just leaves it up ready to roll. So all you got to do is anyway, so it was funny. Yeah, I was ready. I was yapping, but I'm like, I don't think anybody's hearing me right now. But Caden was so quick on his feet. He was back there thinking, wait a minute, the mic must not be working. So I'm just going to roll the legislative report. But we got to play that again. We got to play that in full maybe later on in the hour because, yeah, Jeff Lesloff at the Montana Family Foundation giving a major update on two significant cases, especially his response to the United States Supreme Court decision that came out this week. So what was I yapping about? Even though nobody else could hear me. Ilhan Omar, what did she say now? I mean, the other day I was telling you how Ilhan Omar was talking about how, you know, we've now been turned into the worst country. It's like, well, go back to freaking Somalia, right? But then I was like, wait a minute. I see Aaron Cohen is this Israeli special operations veteran. He was on with Katie Pavlich from townhall.com. I think they were on with Hannity. And I see him responding to whatever Ilhan Omar said now. So I started searching this morning while I was doing my show prep. I was like, what did Ilhan Omar say now after she said how we're, you know, being turned into the worst country? Well, I pulled up a townhall.com story. Ilhan Omar forced to delete post on Juneteenth. So Ilhan Omar sent out a post about, you know, celebrating Juneteenth and the end of slavery in America, and a whole bunch of people started jumping on her. Hey, maybe it's time to end slavery in Somalia. Why don't you talk about ending slavery in Somalia? And so many people were jumping on her tweet about that she just deleted the tweet altogether. But no, that's not what Aaron Cohen was talking about. So what was Aaron Cohen and what were Katie Pavlich from Town Hall talking about? Ilhan Omar, here we go. This is from FoxNews.com. As lawmakers debate what role, if any, the United States should play in the escalating conflict between Israel and Iran, progressive squad member Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat out of Minnesota, made the curious claim that no one in Iran has attacked the United States. She said, quote, no one is attacking or has attacked Americans. She's talking about Iran. It's time to stop dragging Americans into war. and letting Israel once again get America involved in their chosen war. She said no one is attacking or has attacked Americans from Iran. That is definitely a very good candidate for today's Oh, for Pete's Sake moment. Here's what Aaron Cohen had to say about that.
Ilhan Omar saying that no one that no one from Iran has ever attacked Americans isn't just false. It's very, very dangerous because Iran has killed Americans for decades. Hundreds of U.S. troops have died from Iranian-made IEDs in Iraq. Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, every major terror group with American blood on its hands came from Iran. They've trained militias who've attacked our embassies. They've helped build drones that killed three American soldiers in Jordan. Sean, the Islamic Republic, terrorism is their entire identity, and they exist to export terrorism and destabilize Big Satan, the West, after Israel. And now that Israel's hitting them directly, their mask is starting to slip, Sean. So I think the real scandal isn't that Omar has said it. I think it's that people in Congress are echoing Iranian propaganda while U.S. troops are still deployed overseas under threat of Iran. She's not confused. She is compromised, Sean.
Let me ask She's you both this side. Question. She's on their side.
Yeah, that was Kaylee, not Kaylee McEnany, I apologize. That was Katie Pavlich from Town Hall there jumping in at the end. Yeah, she's on their side. We all see it. We all know it. Go back to Somalia. Maybe you could have celebrated Juneteenth by going home to Somalia and ending slavery in your country. She is just, she's not confused. She's compromised. So well said there by Aaron Cohen. Jim Hansen, you know, I mentioned how Aaron Cohen is a Israeli special operations veteran. Jim Hansen, I still call him Uncle Jimbo because he was Uncle Jimbo on the Black Five blog back in the day. He was on with Kaylee McEnany on Fox News. He's a 5th Special Forces Group veteran. And, one of the Black Five bloggers from back in the day. But what if this regime in Iran gets their hands on nukes? You know, he's a 5th Group veteran. That's their AO is the Middle East. And so he knows this stuff in and out. Here's what Jim Hansen says would happen if Iran gets their hands on nukes.
Oh, it's absolutely in question. The people who run Iran right now are from a sect of Shia Islam, the Twelver sect, that believes they need an Armageddon-like event to bring their Mahdi, who will help them rule the world. Now, I can't think of a more Armageddon-like event than a nuclear explosion. So President Trump rightly sees that as the red line, as an intolerable situation, and has said that won't happen. So we can't deal with them, as you said, with treaties or even with mutually assured destruction. We need to deal with them by stopping any chance they have to put together a weapon they might use to cause that to happen.
Yeah, well said there by Uncle Jimbo. All right, major sad news out of Yellowstone County. If you haven't heard yet, our friend Russell Nimitz will weigh in after the report coming up.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost 7 times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Mike Johnson was trying to talk to reporters about the House passing a bill to claw back $9.4 billion in spending from USAID and public broadcasting. And he was promptly heckled by dozens of House Democrats in the hall. They were headed across the Capitol to barge into the office of Senate Majority Leader John Thune. They wanted answers about why federal agents tossed Democratic California Senator Alex Padilla to the ground and handcuffed him. Did the federal agents go too far, I asked Johnson. Was this a bridge too far? Yes, it was, shouted an unidentified Democrat answering my question. question for Johnson, but the speaker immediately pivoted to what Padilla did. It was wildly inappropriate, said Johnson. You don't charge a sitting cabinet secretary. That's a lie, shouted another unidentified Democrat. A lie, yelled someone else. He was acting like a senator, charged New York Democrat Dan Goldman. Why don't you stand up for Congress, he shouted. So I posed a question to the speaker. Can you respond to these people heckling you? I'm not going to respond to that, replied Johnson. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, according to the High Plains Journal, there's a definite sense of long-term optimism with alfalfa growers nationwide. In fact, the National Alfalfa and Forage Alliance recently conducted a survey of 200 farmers from across the country, and encouragingly, only 9% of those surveyed plan to decrease their alfalfa acres over the next 5 years, while 30% plan to increase their acreage. And they say it shows a commitment to alfalfa as a valuable and versatile crop. That said, there is some cautious optimism for this year's market. Hay stocks vary across the country, and that impacts prices regionally. And many farmers expect prices and demand to be a bit stronger than last year's level, although still below recent highs. Of course, concerns for weather-related factors like drought and the potential impact on yields are always on growers' minds. Some pessimism has also come from the shift by some dairies and feedlots away from alfalfa, given past high price years. And many of those buyers, they say, haven't yet fully returned, even though hay prices have come down. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this.
Has your bank lost touch with your operation or doesn't seem well-versed in agriculture? Why not finance with people who understand your business? At Montana Livestock Ag Credit, we have a credit staff and a board of directors whose only business is agriculture. We've worked with our customers through the challenging times of dry weather and rising interest rates. Give me, Blake Hopman, a call at 1-800-332-3405 or visit us at ag-credit.com to learn more about who we are.
The Northern Pulse Growers Association and Northern Crops Institute invite you to join the Pulse Potential Webinar Series. The webinars focus on providing education on pulse production and use with the goal of increasing consumer demand and expanding pulse production through new growers. Topics include the use and benefits of pulse crops, trends and innovations, market drivers, and the path from producer to processor. Check out the schedule and register for the next webinar at northern-crops.com/webinars.
Well, South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds has reintroduced the USA Beef Act legislation to limit the use of the product of USA label only to beef products that are born, raised, and processed in the United States. The legislation would also codify the USDA rule addressing this same issue. In a related issue, the senator isn't delaying on pursuing mandatory country of origin labeling for beef either. In fact, just last week, he sent a letter to Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins asking her to develop a framework for reinstating mandatory cool. And finally this morning, farm organizations from across the country are telling the Trump administration that farmers in the food industry should be consulted by the Make America Healthy Again Commission as it continues work on a recommendations for food and agriculture policy. In fact, the organization said in a letter to Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins, and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, the process by which the commission's most recent report was created lacked transparency and any opportunity for public engagement. As a result, the report contained numerous errors and distortions that have created unfounded fears about the safety of our U.S. food supply. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, another great report there from our friend Russell Nemitz with the Western Ag Network. You know, yesterday afternoon, for those of you who haven't heard the very devastating news out of Yellowstone County, Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlin killed in a plane crash south of Billings Thursday afternoon. Once family had been notified, Commissioner Mark Morse confirmed the news shortly after 5 p.m. He says Commissioner Oslin was the sole occupant of the plane that had crashed. But I tell you what, my phone just started blowing up shortly after that crash, and word started to spread. I was getting numerous messages from civic leaders, business leaders, law enforcement leaders, other local conservatives and folks who just know and love Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. And so I was just hearing from so many folks. But, you know, the thing about Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin, you guys have heard me say this many times on the show before, that guy loved agriculture, and he knew and always reminded everybody about the importance and the significance of agriculture when it comes to the largest town in Montana, Billings, and Yellowstone County. I'll tell you what, we got our friend Russell Nimitz on the phone lines right now. Russell, it's still just hard to believe the news that happened yesterday, but thanks for calling in and joining us here live this morning as well.
Yeah, absolutely, Aaron, and you just said it best. I mean, I think we're all just in shock right now following yesterday's devastating news, and I posted on our Facebook page, you know, last night, you know, the agricultural community truly is one big extended family. And right now, all of the Billings community, all of the Montana community, and really the whole community across the West, or anybody that knew and had any sort of dealings or conversations or were lucky enough to have a friendship with the late Commissioner John Oslin, just knows, I mean, how sad yesterday really was.
His wife, Christy, many folks would see her singing the beautiful national anthem at so many different events. I don't know if there was an ag event that John Oslin wasn't at, but what I love about John Oslin is, you know, it didn't matter where you were at, what event you were at, he always had those rosy cheeks, almost like Santa Claus style rosy cheeks, you know, and he was always smiling, and he was just such a classic Western figure in his cowboy hat, you know, that white cowboy hat. It was never clean because he was always doing something, you know, flying airplanes or doing something out on the land. But he just had that classic cowboy hat and those rosy cheeks and just a heart for agriculture and a smile to greet everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's what I was thinking about last night, too. I was like, those rosy cheeks, that gray hat, and he always had a white shirt on, right?
A crisp, and those, I meant to add that. Yeah, a crisp, clean, white shirt. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And along with, starched jeans, you know, and the cowboy boots. I mean, But it wasn't just, you know, an act, or it just wasn't a costume that he was wearing because he was a politician or a public servant. I mean, that truly was John Oslin's, you know, his image, and that's what he stood by. I mean, one thing about it, you know, you get to visit with a lot of public servants and politicians, as do I in the news business, and I mean, There was no wavering with John Oslin. I mean, when he made a decision, he stood by it. His convictions were strong, and even if he didn't agree with you, he still was your friend at the end of the day, you know? And I think that's what everybody, you know, just reading all the different messages and comments, you know, that are out there on different posts and social media. I mean, it seems like everybody just loved John Oslin.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I'm seeing the tributes pour in from Flathead County commissioners and even some of our Democrat friends in Missoula also, sharing tributes as well. Yeah, he was eventually became chair of the Montana Association of Counties, and of course, very well respected nationally through the National Association of Counties as well. I also love the fact that he never wavered. I mean, he was kind of, you know, when I think of Ronald Reagan, I remember seeing a Ronald Reagan. You probably saw the same billboard on the High Line when you were a kid up in Chinook, but I remember seeing this Ronald Reagan billboard where he had the smile and the cowboy hat. And he was always optimistic about the future of our country. Politically, that's who John Oslin was as well. He came in just before the 2024 elections, and he had that same smile and those same rosy cheeks, and he said, Aaron, I think we're going to have a good night in November. I think our country's going to be looking really good. We're going to be doing great.
Yeah, he did. He always had that optimism, you know, even if the rest of us weren't quite so sure. By the time you got done talking to John Oslin, you were a believer, right? And I was just thinking about when I first met John. It was in the early 2000s. It was shortly after he first became county commissioner in Yellowstone County. I had just been appointed by then Commissioner Ziggy Ziegler and, you know, Bill Kennedy and Jim Reno to serve my first three-year term on the Metro Parks Board of Directors. And I didn't really know John. I mean, he didn't really know me. I mean, he knew of me because of, you know, what I did for a living. But, you know, he came into that first Metro Park board meeting. And, you know, it was kind of a different relationship at the time between the county commissioners and the Metro Park board. And Bill Chiazza had just passed away. So, the board had just hired a new general manager, and then there was a lot of stuff going on at that time. But, you know, boy, over those 6 years that I spent on that board and his first, you know, couple terms as county commissioner, that's where our friendship really, really blossomed. And I'm just so thankful for those years and, you know, running into him at every ag event in Yellowstone County and elsewhere across Montana. I don't know, my heart just breaks, Aaron, for Christy and his kids and just his whole family right now.
Yeah, it's a big loss for Yellowstone County, big loss for the state of Montana and just the West in general. You talk about the Metro Park Advisory Board. My wife served on that same board after you as well. And I know our friend Charlie Lovers describes John Oslin as a mentor. John Oslin was certainly a mentor and a friend to my wife, Jessica. I just hated sharing that news with her yesterday afternoon. She called him Uncle John. He was just like part of the family. That's just the guy he was. He was a mentor and a friend and just a part of everybody's family. Well, Russell Nimitz, we greatly appreciate you calling in. We enjoy your farm and ranch reports every day, but we appreciate you giving a tribute to our friend John Oslin this morning as well.
Absolutely, anytime, and thanks for letting me be part of your airwaves this morning, Aaron.
Well, it's an honor. You're in Missoula this morning, I think. Did I hear right?
I'm over in western Montana, just spending a couple days over here. My beloved mother had to have open-heart surgery on Wednesday over here, but, hey, I'm pleased to report that everything went fine with her surgery, and now she's recovering, and before too long, she'll be back in Chinook, and, you know, just blowing and going.
Praise the Lord on that one. We'll keep her in our prayers. We appreciate that. All right, Russell Nimitz, great to have you on the show, my friend. Quick break. Phone lines are open.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. But, for those of you just hearing, I apologize if you're just hearing this news for the first time. Yeah, we had the story on our Montana Talks website as soon as we were able to report the news. Of course, we wanted to wait until the family was notified and everything like that. Especially Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin. Man, it's like every time I run into somebody, they're like, oh, yeah, but John Oslin, that's my uncle. Oh, yeah, that's my brother. He's just got so many family members across the county as well. And just every single one of them I've met, just great people, great folks. That story's on our Montana Talks website. Plus, the Billings Motorcycle Club prepares for the world's oldest hill climb. We had a great conversation with the Billings Motorcycle Club the other day, Ken Elwell. It was really cool to have to hear him, you know, spit out some numbers on these bikes that they use for the hill climb and the history of their club and so much more. So you can check out that on the Montana Talks website. Also, the College National Finals Rodeo cruising through their third go-round down in Casper, Wyoming. We've got a report on the Montana Talks website with a little bit of an update there, although it's a little Wyoming-centric, so I need to see how all the Montana kids are doing down there at the CNFR. But speaking of the rodeo, the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame, and I saw a great message from Brent Jordan out of Bozeman. He's with the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame as well. But they posted this about Commissioner John Oslin. The Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame sends our sincere condolences to the family of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Oslin on his passing. John was a great friend and supporter of our organization. Rest in peace, cowboy. So that was from the Montana Pro Rodeo Hall and Wall of Fame. But, yeah, we've got some more headlines on the Montana Talks website. This is a topic I want to get to. Maybe I'll get to that here shortly. Wyoming Senator John Barrasso had a back and forth with Energy Secretary, with the Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright, specifically focused on nuclear energy. You know, Wyoming's pressing forward on some nuclear power plants and more. Also protecting the future of coal. So maybe I can play a little of that for you. But it also reminds me, yesterday we had a little bit of a back and forth queued up, ready to roll as well, with Senator Steve Daines and Energy Secretary Chris Wright. So I'll start with the Montana First interview. But first, I just saw a news alert from Fox News Radio that President Trump, I should have kept the news update on my phone so I could read it word for word. But basically, President Trump apparently is saying he is more optimistic. Here we go. Trump signals substantial chance of renewed Iran negotiations. That's the headline at the Fox News First newsletter here this morning. But what about this decision by President Trump to give Iran 2 more weeks? Here's what Peter Ducey reported yesterday.
We begin with Peter Ducey. He's live from the North Lawn for us. Hello, Peter.
Sandra, Iranian leaders' public comments have been so brash since this Israeli assault began. They have given no public indication that they are ready to wind down the nuclear weapons program. So somebody in one of these back channels from Iran has said something to the folks that work here that makes them think that diplomacy is still possible. And now we know exactly what President Trump is hoping for with a potential deal.
No enrichment of a uranium, and it would absolutely not. Iran is not absolutely not able to achieve a nuclear weapon. The president has been very clear about that. And by the way, the deal that Special Envoy Witkoff proposed to the Iranians was both realistic and acceptable within its terms.
And just in case there's any ambiguity, Caroline Leavitt further clarified her statement about the president's thought process that she delivered after President Trump got out of a classified intelligence briefing.
The president is saying that he will make a decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks.
So that leaves a lot of wiggle room for many different outcomes. But the fact, according to White House officials, is that their intelligence shows them Iran has never been closer to obtaining a nuclear weapon. Sandra.
Peter Ducey at the White House on that for us. Peter, thank you. John.
Now, meanwhile, Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton, a fellow Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran, he was on with Sean Hannity last night making the point and emphasizing the point that this is not about starting a forever war. This is about ending a forever war.
Iran is the one that's waged the forever war. They've waged the forever war against the United States and Israel and the civilized world since 1979. And for 25 years, American presidents have been pledging that Iran cannot get a nuclear weapon. But only one, Donald Trump, actually has done something about it and has said that we're going to bring this chapter to a close soon. So as you put it, Fordo, their deeply buried underground nuclear bunker, has to be closed one way or the other. It can be closed the easy way,
it has to
be closed the hard way.
If they can't use this to buy time to rebuild their arsenal or to go deeper into their nuclear program, to me it would almost have to be next day or next within 2 days, no more than a week, Americans on the ground in the Fordo facility beginning the process of scientifically figuring out how to dismantle it. But it would also include anywhere, any place, anytime inspections, and they have to give up their long-range missiles and frankly any missile that has a range to hit any American target in the region.
All right, that was Sean Hannity, of course, right after Senator Tom Cotton. Okay, let's now take you to that Energy and Natural Resources hearing with Energy Secretary Chris Wright. Senator Steve Daines, of course, starting with the topic of coal and Colstrip.
Secretary Wright, it's great to have you back here. Last week, the EPA announced they've started the process to roll back President Biden's anti-energy rules, including MATS and Clean Power Plan 2.0. The Biden administration specifically targeted Colstrip there in Montana with these rules with the express intention of closing it down for good. Mr. Secretary, as you know, this would have been devastating for Montana jobs, devastating for grid reliability and energy production in the region at a time when we need more energy. It is vital we continue to expand energy production, not shut it down or replace it. That means building more projects while ensuring coal plants like Colstrip continue to produce baseload power, reliable, affordable power. My question, Secretary Wright, is as EPA and other agencies work to rescind and rewrite rules, will you weigh in to ensure that grid reliability, energy affordability, and baseload power are top of mind for rules that are affecting power generation?
Absolutely, yes, Senator. I'm passionate about that. In fact, I've testified in Congress multiple times before I got my new job on just that issue, that when regulations pursue a narrow agenda and they don't consider the broader impacts of what they're doing, they can be destructive on our country and on our people. And, yeah, I'm very passionate about those topics.
All right. Yeah, and we can have more on that topic here later this morning. Yeah, lots to get to here with Montana Talks. And then, you know, coming up later in the 8 o'clock hour as well, when our friend George Blackard is in the house, I want to talk about American military, boots on the ground in the Middle East and how, you know, where troops are being repositioned, et cetera, in the midst of everything going on with Israel and Iran. I just checked out the DOD early bird report this morning to try to get our hands on what is being publicly reported, at least. So we'll get to that later on in the 8 o'clock hour of this show. All right, it's about getting to be mid-morning for me already because we get up pretty early to get ready for a show like this. So I need to grab a little protein snack here. I'm going to grab some of these Ranch Dorado Ideal Protein Chips that I've got here in the studio. I stopped by Billings Last Diet and picked up some of those. I did my monthly check-in with my diet coach, a very good check-in. It's always good when you have a good check-in. It always motivates you. But I'll tell you what, these protein chips are great. I mean, they have a good flavor to them. I like the ranch seasoning on it. And that's the thing is, like, for those of you who maybe have done dieting before, if you've done other diets and you're like, oh, dude, the food is not that good, I love the taste of so many of these Ideal Protein products that they've got at Billings Last Diet. But here's the thing. You don't have to drop in to Billings Last Diet to pick up those products because you can take advantage of their remote option. Just like Tim out there on the Montana-North Dakota border. He lost 100 pounds thanks to Billings Last Diet. Did it all remotely. They would just ship the food products to him. He could still pick out whatever products he wanted. They would put it in the mail to him. So you can lose the weight and keep it off for life and get the products shipped to you. You don't even have to live in Billings. Just go to BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751. Okay, coming up right after this, Jeff Lasloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. Two major updates, including a United States Supreme Court decision that should bring to a halt any attempt to try to push this radical transgender agenda on kids here in Montana. We'll hear that full report right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
There's other stuff that kind of disturbed me today, and I'm not really sure what to make of it, what it's about, but China did send mystery transport planes into Iran. I don't know if our intelligence was able to pick that up. I would absolutely like to know what they had there. Overwhelmingly, we've been going over these polls day in and day out, but Americans, you know, look at the Insider Advantage and Trafalgar polls. 75% of respondents said that Donald Trump should take out these facilities by any means necessary. I mean, that's a pretty strong message. And I do know that there definitely are those that...
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, it's Sean Hannity here. It's no secret. I have been very outspoken ever since I was able to save money. I've been a longtime buyer of precious metals like gold and silver. In fact, I've been purchasing them for many decades now, and I'm so glad that I have. But who do I choose to help safeguard my money? Here's the deal. I've been with the award-winning precious metals dealer, Gold Co., for years now. I am a customer of Gold Co., and I was frankly relieved to find a great company that I trust and that I have stuck with, and they stick with me for the long haul. They keep it simple, and they've taught me a whole lot about the value of precious metals and how they can help protect your savings. I simply want you to call, no obligation, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. They'll send you a free 2025 gold and silver kit. You'll also learn about their unlimited bonus silver offer, and you're not going to want to miss that one. Trust me. Anyway, call now, 855-815-GOLD, or just go to HannityGold.com. That's HannityGold.com today.
Hey, here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sun today, we'll see a chance for showers and storms, especially west of Billings. High temperatures from 83 in Bozeman to about 86 in the Billings area. For tonight, chance for scattered showers and storms. Lows at 47 in Bozeman to 57 in Billings. And we'll see more shower and storm chances Saturday, mid-60s in Bozeman, near 80 in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The University of Montana's Dr. Mehrdad Kia, he grew up in Iran. He has long talked about the terrorist regime controlling Iran as a paper tiger, with Israel in charge of the skies over Tehran and the people fleeing their capital city. Is this paper tiger concept now on full display? We had a great conversation with Dr. Mehrdad Kia. I tell you what, if you missed it, you got to go back, check it out. Full audio on the Montana Talks app, or you can listen to the podcast on Spotify as well.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlofsky.
When it comes to day-to-day operations, the main focus of the Montana Family Foundation generally lands in one of two buckets. We're either legislating or litigating. Legislating happens during a narrow window every 2 years when the Montana legislature convenes for its biennial legislative session. Litigating, on the other hand, goes on year-round, and this week was one of those weeks that kept our legal team hopping. It all began on Wednesday when the U.S. Supreme Court handed down its ruling in the case of United States v. Scrimeti, a case in which the Biden administration challenged a Tennessee law that banned health care providers from administering puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, or performing irreversible surgeries on minors suffering from gender dysphoria. If that sounds familiar, it's because Montana and 26 other states have passed similar laws to protect confused minors from unscrupulous health care providers. In Montana's case, our liberal-dominated Supreme Court found that the law violated Montana's ever-broadening right to privacy. This is the same court that found that minors of any age have complete procreative autonomy. Thankfully, the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals and the U.S. Supreme Court still retain a modicum of reason. And in Scrimeti, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in our favor. The Montana Family Foundation filed a friend of the court brief in that case, which found, among other things, that Tennessee's law was plainly rationally related to the state's findings that so-called gender-affirming care can lead to children becoming irreversibly sterile, having increased risk of disease and illness, or suffering from potentially fatal psychological consequences. In the end, they concluded that the law is rationally related to the state's objective of protecting minors' health and welfare, all of which were arguments that we made before the Montana legislature and the Montana Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court's ruling in Scrimeti can be seen as the strongest possible rebuke to the Montana Supreme Court, which regularly places woke leftist ideology above the health and well-being of Montana's children. And speaking of the health of children, you'll recall that we filed suit last week against the state of Montana for the unconstitutional procedures that led to the passage of CI 128, the controversial amendment that legalized abortion in our state. This week, Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson filed a motion before the Supreme Court that agreed with our assertion that our petition for original jurisdiction involves questions of constitutional interpretation of statewide importance. He went on to say that it's the state of Montana's position that the court would benefit from substantive briefing on the matter and should order the same. This is good news. The state is essentially agreeing with our position that the Supreme Court should take up the case rather than simply denying the motion and ordering us to refile in district court. As we've said before, CI 128 was constitutionally insufficient on multiple grounds, and we've chosen to challenge the process rather than the issue of abortion itself, given this court's history of upholding abortions at any time and for any reason. The Montana Family Foundation, the Montana Legislature, and Montana's governor are all fighting for reasonable common sense protections for Montana's children. And we invite the court to jettison its woke agenda and join us for the sake of our children and our grandchildren. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, great report there from our friend Jeff Laszlofy on a number of fronts. Speaking of good reports, we just got a very good report out of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which has typically been a very far-left circuit court. The whole case, California Governor Gavin Newsom filed suit against President Trump. You know, President Trump protecting the streets of Los Angeles, Gavin Newsom fanning the flames and trying to block the National Guard from protecting the cities. I think it was unanimous. I'll have the report for you here next hour. I think it was unanimous. The Ninth Circuit shot down Newsom's lawsuit and said, yeah, Trump is right. Wasn't he right about everything?
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The first step in really reforming Medicare is to realize that what it's trying to do is virtually impossible, and that is to administratively set prices. And not just a few prices, millions of prices for every kind of drug, procedure, service, and therapy you can imagine, with thousands of variants for age, health, and region of the country. I say this is impossible, but what I really mean is that it's impossible to do correctly, to set prices the way a market would, according to scarcity and demand. Wrong prices send bad signals to market participants. Author John Goodman compares the Medicare reimbursement for two different kinds of patient visits, one to diagnose a condition causing symptoms and a visit to have cataracts removed. Medicare pays almost seven times more for a 20-minute cataract surgery than the visit to the GP. Is it any wonder that general medicine practitioners are becoming harder to find? I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.